Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, on April 8th, a total solar eclipse will put 13 U.S. states into darkness, forming an X across the heart of America. On April 8th, 2024, a total solar eclipse known as the Great North American Eclipse will trace a narrow path of totality. I like the way that sounds, don't you? A narrow path of totality. Across 13 U.S. states, it will be a mirror image of the last solar eclipse that took place in 2017 and will form a near-perfect X across the heart of America. Now, is this just a natural event taking place, or is it a sign of something much larger and more ominous? That's the question everybody is attempting to answer, and of course, we are going to take a shot at that as well. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and this is the verse that everybody's pointing to, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign." On this episode, we live in strange times, and they keep getting stranger by the minute. Now, ordinarily, I would not pay much attention to something like this, but seeing as it is day 1,449 of 15 days to flatten the curve, perhaps we would do well to investigate. Now, the first thing that you need to understand from a biblical perspective is that we are still in the church age. We are not looking for signs. We walk by faith and not by sight, as Paul tells us. That said, our dispensation is rapidly closing, and the one coming in will absolutely be looking for signs, miracles, and wonders that the Antichrist will be more than happy to provide for them. Now, here's a fun fact. Numerically, the date of 040824 adds up to, you guessed it, 18. And 18 is made up of 6 plus 6 plus 6. What does that actually mean in the overall scheme of things? Well, let's open up our King James Bibles and find out. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, the roof over our head. We're glad, we're grateful. Lord, you give us a place to meet and to congregate. Lord, you give us a platform, and we can preach and teach your word, and NTEBers can gather here all across America and all over the globe. And what a blessing that is. Today we pray for lost souls. Cassandra says, please pray for my husband Todd and my sons Nathan, Andrew, and Sonny. Marie Sim says, my ex-husband is a Mason and he needs to get saved. And so do my children, John and Tracy, and their family. Jean-Paul Mesa says, my Catholic mom needs to get saved. Deborah Mack is praying for John and Brenda. Zach Jeffson's mom needs to get saved. Katrina. Chelsea P. is praying for Mike T. Mia in Texas says, hey, my kids, Kimberly, Danielle, and AJ, they need to get saved. Holly says, please add my husband Nick to the prayer list. Rob says, my friend Eddie. Deborah Mack says, can you please pray for Brandy? Char is asking prayer for her mom. Linda says, Richard Kitzmiller needs to go on the list. Heather W. says, my daughter Sophia is in danger of being left behind. Pray for her salvation. Carly Hamill, she has extended family in Maine, in California, and in the African Congo. And many members of her family need to get saved. Angela Moffitt, my 22-year-old son Matthew, he needs to go on the list. He has walked away from his faith. He is in a same-sex relationship. Pray for him to get saved, and we absolutely are. People who need a healing today, Please pray for Lori's mother, Joyce. That's my mother-in-law. She's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she's undergoing treatment. Kyle Gorzel, over the weekend, they got a cold, got a flu, got a COVID, whatever. They're not feeling good. He says, Reagan and I are under the weather, and both Eden and Titus have been throwing up. So please pray that a healing would come to the Gorzel family. Our friend Krista has a tumor in her chest. Debbie Mathias's daughter-in-law, Abby, has had a second stroke. Debbie's husband, Bobby, is having hernia surgery today. Gail says, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Rick Reynolds, please pray for my daughters, Carrie, Abby, and Grace, and now grandbaby, Lilia. Amanda Emaw is battling cancer. She is in the hospital right now. Pray for Amanda Emaw. Annetta needs a complete healing after having a stroke in 2022. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis. George H. has health issues. James Rivette recovering from addiction and mental health issues. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Jill Puckett losing her vision. Paul Caulfield battling type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp, autism. Dan Kane, my wife Roxy, has MS. And also, please pray for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik battling cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia, and her daughter Michelle has neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy has severe arthritis, diabetes type 2, fatty liver. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Melissa B's husband Brian has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. Her daughter Norcha having surgery right now in the hospital on her thyroid. Casey is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane says, please pray for my parents and brother to get saved and my husband to have a healing. Jackie H. wants God's favor regarding her son and a custody dispute. Vladimir's friend Katka has ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has bone marrow cancer. Stacy is going through a divorce and needs wisdom. Casey, please keep my husband on the prayer list. He is unsaved and an alcoholic. Tom Rantz recovering from a brain bleed and a stroke. Julius, please pray for my mother, Erlinda, and my niece, Rochelle, for health issues. A little girl named Birdie had a stroke and a seizure. Pray for her. Kathy Heald, that's Jeanette's sister, numerous health issues, including macular degeneration, which is also something that her husband Robert and Aunt Linda are battling. Teresa G. is also battling macular degeneration. Dr. Ruckman, in the last 10 years of his ministry, suffered from macular degeneration. Ashley Shields, West Nile virus, I'm getting better. Please keep me on the list. You got it. Shira Shine has things in her family that only the Lord can solve. And we lift up the entire family, the children, the grandchildren, and for Shira, that God would get in the midst of all that stuff. Linda Benjamin, please pray for my overall health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb continue to battle health issues. Irma has had surgery for tumors in her bladder. She is still in a lot of foot pain and needs prayer for an overall healing. Gerard Magua from Australia, longtime NTEB listener. I have a prayer request for my sister-in-law, Nikki. She lives in Cape Town, South Africa, and has lung cancer that isn't responding to the treatment. And also, she's unsaved. So please pray for Nikki in Cape Town, South Africa. Ladies who are expecting, Christy Ireland, Char's daughter Miranda, Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, and Spray of Sunshine would like prayer for her son and his girlfriend, who are expecting twins. Mark Saxa, please pray for my son Joseph to return to the Lord. Sean, I had a great chat with him on Telegram yesterday, he is a strong Bible believer, might be coming to the camp meeting. His house was hit by Hurricane Ian, and he says it's been a nightmare with the lawyers trying to get the funds released from the insurance. Please pray, and we're happy to do that. Jan Lacker, she says, I'm recovering from knee surgery. My son David needs to be saved. My son with disabilities needs protection. My husband, please pray for his salvation and for a healing in our marriage. And we are happy to do that. Char, still waiting for their jail ministry to be reopened at their church in Coquille, Oregon. And what a coincidence. The theme of our camp meeting this year is jail and prison ministry, and I have a big update on that for you in just a little bit. Linda, please pray for my son Stephen. He's in a bad way, needs to return to the Lord. Julie Baird, please pray about living situation and finances. Deborah Mack wants prayer for Devin Miller. A young man by the name of Tristan went missing on November 29th. Praying for his return. Linda LaPiana, please pray for my kids, Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher, to return to the Lord, and for Stephen and his wife Hannah's financial situation. Dina Kruger, please pray for my son Jordan. He's studying in Japan until May. Please pray for his salvation and his safety. Daniel B., I'm struggling with sin. I feel weak. Also, please pray that I would understand God's word more clearly. Amen, amen, and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Juanita says, please keep Maddie in your prayers. Mia in Texas, my allergies are full blown, and we're battling that here in Florida as well. Char, please pray for my friend Brenda. She has such heartache over her son dying of cancer, no assurance of salvation for her son yet. So please pray for Brenda's son to get saved. Jeanette says, for some reason this morning, all morning, I have had brain fog. Please, I never experienced this before. Please pray for me. And if you've never experienced, and I don't know if she has it from COVID, but we have had COVID brain fog over here, and it is no fun. I can remember about a month or so ago after the last time we had COVID, and it was one of the programs that I was coming back on, and program was going great for about 25 minutes, and then all of a sudden, I didn't have a thought in my head. I had taken the breath to say the next thing that I was going to say, and there was nothing in my head. And what a terrible feeling that is, that brain fog. And please pray for Jeanette. Deborah Mack, please join me in prayer for my local pastor and our building. We may be able to lease a building soon if the Lord wills. The fellowship was lovely yesterday during our potluck. Right now we meet at a public school, and what a blessing that is. Also, please pray for our friend Rob Beatty, battling stage 4 cancer. He's already signed up for hospice, but he is ready to go home and be with the Lord. But the Lord doesn't seem to be in too much of a hurry to take him, and it's a blessing. His attitude, he is every day, he is positive and he is upbeat, and he just wants to get something done for the Lord. So please pray for Rob Beatty. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. You're good to us, and we thank you, God, that you've made us a praying people. And there's so many names on the prayer list today. So many people need a healing, and people need to get saved, and people need restoration and reconciliation. In short, people need what only you can do. And we say this many times, we'll say it again. God, if you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. And today we confess our dependence upon you. We throw ourselves at your feet and say, Lord, Only you can get this stuff done. And we trust you. We praise you. Rob Beattie is in the chat room. Hey, brother. He said, they say that my liver will start to fail in June. The tumor has gone from his colon to his liver. And that's what the doctors say. But hey, I remember a year and a half ago where the doctors told him, you better go and get into hospice. And he did. And he was in hospice for about, I don't know, a day, 2 days, maybe 3 days. And I called him up on the cell phone and we're talking on the phone and we had a great conversation. And all of a sudden he said to me, he said, you know what? I don't think I'm ready for hospice. And the next day he checked out and he's been out ever since. So stage four cancer is no joke, but the Lord doesn't seem to be in a hurry to take him. Mia says, Rob, God will decide that. Amen. And he certainly will. And Brother Rob, you have the full support of your NTEB family. We love you. We're so glad that you're here with us today. And we're lifting you up to the Lord and asking him to continue to do miraculous things in you and through you. So Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you, talking about the things of the future, talking about prophecy, talking about solar eclipses, talking about all those things. And Lord, we just ask you to lead and guide in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome to the podcast today. If you're just tuning in, we have a hot topic. Everybody is talking about the total solar eclipse that is going to be taking place on 040824. You add up 0408 and 24, you get 18. Divide that by 3, you get 6. 6 plus 6 plus 6. Now, are we reaching when we say that? Are we just trying to drum up some clickbait headlines? Or is there something to that? Well, let's take a look at what everybody is saying about the 2024 total solar eclipse.
When you experience an eclipse, you feel that connection with space.
Oh my gosh!
Look at the ray structure!
The universe is out there and it's affecting us. We are in space.
And here it comes, there's the diamond ring. And that is the most spectacular sight.
If you haven't seen it, you haven't seen anything.
I just love the dramatic music. That was the official trailer from NASA, the same people who started the U.S. space program with Operation Paperclip. You may know a little bit about Operation Paperclip. That's when the Allies won the war. And we gathered all of the Nazi scientists that we thought could help us to put a man on the moon, finish up the atomic bomb, and all those other things. Operation Paperclip, that's where NASA comes from. And people say to me sometimes, you know what? You spend a little bit too much time with all that conspiracy theory. And my answer is, well, if they wouldn't keep conspiring against us, we could stop talking about it. And because they continue to do those things, we continue to talk about the things that they do. Let's take a listen to this clip. This is from the Jim Baker Show. Hardcore charismatic, doesn't rightly divide, doesn't understand dispensations, doesn't understand the Bible. Jim Baker, I mean, he is just a hot mess. And but he has a TV show and he has a platform, and he gets all the people like Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis, Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz. They all come on his program because they're selling a book, or they're selling Miracle Spring Water, or they're selling a splinter from the cross of Christ, or whatever it happens to be. Jim Baker is not known for his accuracy in Bible teaching. So why am I going to play a clip for you of Jim Baker interviewing Mark Biltz, who is a Hebrew roots person? Well, because I want you to hear what the other side has to say. What we're doing today is we're taking everybody's opinion, and then we're going to look at the Bible, and then we're going to see what God thinks about the solar eclipse. So take a listen to this. Jim Baker interviewing Mark Biltz about the 2024 solar eclipse that they call the big one.
You have said that the next total solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024 is the big one. Now, you're talking about the possible tribulation signal is just a year from now, but you're saying this one on the 8th is the on April 8th, 2024 is the big one. Why is that?
So let me stop Jim Baker right there. He got a whole 17 seconds in before I had to stop him. They think the tribulation is mere months away. And look, if the rapture was today, and I hope that it is, Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope you're looking for his glorious appearing. But even if the rapture took place today, the tribulation would still be a minimum of 3.5 years away. The tribulation is not 7 years long. The time of Jacob's trouble is 7 years long. The great tribulation is the last half of those 7 years. We read this in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Daniel gives you everything from Jesus going to the cross all the way to Revelation 19 and the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 27 says, and he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that's 7 years. And in the midst of that week, that's 3.5 years into that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, let's continue with what Jim Baker and Mark Biltz want to tell us about the solar eclipse on April 8th.
Most everyone remembers the great American eclipse that happened August 21st of 2017 that went from Oregon all the way down through Carolina. Well, the one April 8th, 2024 goes from the south up through the northeast, and amazingly, it intersects at this particular location in southern Illinois. And they say scientifically, mathematically, that typically you won't see a total solar eclipse in one spot for over 300 years. And here, it's in 7 years.
So let me stop Mark Biltz right there. Let me give you a graphical look I'm a graphic artist as well as a Bible preacher and teacher, and I love to show things graphically whenever I can. So let me show you graphically the path of the 2017 earthquake, solar eclipse, and let me show you the path of the 2024 solar eclipse. And you can see that they are meeting, they meet right there in the middle. And this is very unusual. Mark Biltz was correct when he says that it is very unusual for the path of a solar eclipse to cross the path of a previous one. But there you have it. You have the eclipse from 2017 going from the northwest to the southeast, and you have the one that has yet to take place starting at the southwest and going to the northeast. And what does that show you? Well, X marks the spot. And we have done so many really good, solid Bible teachings on words that begin with X and the amazing way that the letter X is used in your King James Bible. And we wrote about that last year. We did a bunch of Bible studies about that. And we sell a book at the bookstore called The Mark of the Beast by Dr. Peter Ruckman. If you've never read The Mark of the Beast, we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com. Lori's going to put the link into the chat room for The Mark of the Beast. But we invite you to go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a copy of the book, The Mark of the Beast by Dr. Ruckman. And it will blow your mind. It will make you think at the very least. And some of the amazing ways that the letter X is used in your King James Bible. Now, the word for king is Rex, R-E-X. This is Antichrist. He is the counterfeit king. When I was a little kid, there was a new invention that everybody was all excited about. It was called the Xerox copy machine. How do you spell Xerox? X-E-R-O-X. And so, in Revelation 6:2, it shows you a king, Rex. But he's a counterfeit king. He is a Xerox copy. Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The Latin word for king is Rex, and that's exactly what the Antichrist is. He is a king, but with a catch. This Rex is not the actual Messiah. He's a counterfeit Messiah. He is a Xerox copy. He looks a lot like the real thing, but he is not. The second thing that your King James Bible shows you about the letter X, turn to Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, this counterfeit king that we call Rex or Mr. Xerox, he brings something when he arrives, and we call that a hex, H-E-X. It is something that curses the one that receives it. What does the Bible call this hex? Well, the Bible calls this hex the mark of the beast. Now, the third thing that your King James Bible has to tell you about the letter X, Revelation 16:2. Revelation 16:2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So King Xerox gives out his hex. And what does that produce? Why, it produces a pox, P-O-X, in the bodies of the people who receive it. Let me give you something else. If you go to the Greek and you go to look up the Greek word for the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark. Well, that mark is charagma in English. But in Greek, and I'm not going to try to impress anybody with me pronouncing a Greek word, but let me just simply say that the word in Greek for the mark that we call charagma begins with the letter X. X-A-P-A-Y-U-A. Isn't that fascinating? All of this about one little tiny little letter. I'll give you one more. Revelation 13, 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, not of mankind, not of men in general, but of one particular man. And his number is 666. Now, in English, 666 is pronounced chixastigma. That's what it's pronounced in English. But in Greek, it is XSS. And once again, the Greek word for 666 begins with the letter X. Now, we've already gone so far past Mark Biltz and Jim Baker, I almost don't even want to go back to this clip, but I want you to hear one thing that Mark Biltz is going to say, and then we're going to talk about that.
7 years is very significant in the fact that both of them occurred during the second year of a Shemitah cycle. If you remember, it was in the second year of the Shemitah cycle that Jacob and his brethren came up and moved to Egypt.
The exact point of intersection between 2017 total solar eclipse and the one coming on April 8th, 2024.
Yes, what's amazing about this is...
All right, let me just stop him right there. Now, you remember, Mark Biltz, we've written about him over the years. He's the Hebrew Roots guy, and Hebrew Roots is nothing but a cult. And Mark Biltz wrote a book about the four blood moons. And then people like Paul Begley, he talked about those blood moons. And do you remember how everybody got so excited about the blood moons, but then the blood moons came and went and nothing happened? You know what would have been really cool? If there would have been a blood moon at the time of the pandemic, that would have been really cool, but there wasn't. And so Mark Biltz has a fairly bad track record talking about things like the blood moon. And then people like Paul Begley pick that stuff up. And there really is nothing to the blood moon. Angela says a lot of people made money off of that. That's exactly right. So the one thing that we do want to focus on, all right, and I'm going to put this image into the chat room again. The path of the 2017 total solar eclipse went from Oregon down to Georgia, South Carolina. And the path of the one that's coming in April next month is going to go from like Texas to Maine. I saw a list earlier. The last spot that the solar eclipse is going to go to is a town called Caribou, Maine. And isn't that funny that that's where the solar eclipse is going to stop? But that's where it's going to go. So look at the graphic that I just put into the chat room. And you see the path of the one from 2017. You see the path of the one from 2024 that's going to take place sometime in the next 5.5 weeks. Okay. And you can see very, very clearly that that is going to form an X. And because of that, we are interested in this. Anything that has to do with the letter X and anything that has to do with the Bible, now we're talking about something that we can sink our teeth into. So let me show you something. Turn to Job chapter 38. Turn to Job chapter 38. And what do we see in Job chapter 38? Well, we see a very interesting phenomenon in Job chapter 38 about the weather. Something that you don't really, you look at your mobile device, is it going to be hot out? What do I need to wear? Do I wear shorts and flip-flops? Is it going to be cold out? Do I need to take a sweater? Is it going to rain? Do I need an umbrella? And blah, blah, blah. And that's all we ever really think about the weather. But have you ever asked yourself what God thinks about the weather? In Job chapter 38, let's start reading in verse 16. Job chapter 38, let's start reading in verse 16. God is talking with Job, and he says to him, "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked into the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare it, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou was then born, or because the number of thy days is great?" And I said all that to say this: "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" Now, when you go to the book of Revelation, you know what you see in the book of Revelation? Revelation 8:7. Revelation 8:7. "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." Turn to Revelation 16:21. Revelation 16:21. "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent." That's about 100 pounds. "And men blasphemed God because the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great." So the thing that you need to understand about the weather, about the rain, the snow, the sleet, the hail, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the tidal waves, the fissures, the fractures, the gravitational pull of the moon upon the earth, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the lunar eclipse, the solar eclipse, all of these things we associate with weather, weather patterns, and natural phenomena. Well, when you read, and sometime we'll do a Bible study where we will look at, we'll take 2 hours, and we will look at all the places in your King James Bible where God talks about controlling the weather. And God does control the weather. And not only that, God uses weather as a weapon. Back in 1978, there was a book called The Late Great Planet Earth by a man named Hal Lindsey. Now, you weren't going to get much Bible doctrine from that book. But the good thing that that book did, it was part of a 1970s and 80s awakening in Christians wanting to learn Bible prophecy. And when Hal Lindsey in that book looked at the book of Revelation. He tried to compare everything to weapons, like when you look at the locusts that come up out of the pit. Hal Lindsey said that those locusts looked like Apache attack helicopters, and the stinger in their tail was the Hellfire missiles that are shot from an Apache attack helicopter. But God looks at hydrogen bombs, nuclear bombs, anything that man has created, the F-35, the F-22 Raptor, anything that man has created, the direct energy weapon, and God laughs at that. And the reason why God laughs, now we don't laugh at an atom bomb or a nuclear bomb. When those bombs exploded over Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end World War II, those images are still frightening and disturbing, and they'll give you nightmares. But when God starts dropping stuff out of the sky, and when God begins to use the weather as a weapon in the tribulation, there is no weapon that man has or ever will have that will match what God can do with the weather. So, the solar eclipse, the lunar eclipse, and all of those, turn to Luke 21. Turn to Luke 21. And I don't think we're going to go back to Mark Biltz and Jim Baker. They don't really have anything for us to talk about. But the reason, if I would have let that clip play, they would have referred to these passages in Luke chapter 21. And so these passages that I want to read for you are the passages, if you go on to X or you go on to YouTube, you go on and listen to anybody who's doing a podcast or a video about the April 8th eclipse, 90% of those people are going to give you these verses, Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. Luke 21, 25 through 28. Which says this, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity." I love the King James Bible. That's just so powerful, "with perplexity." That's great. I'm going to read that again. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." God controls the wind and the weather. "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" That's my king. That's who we're talking about. Verse 26, "men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Now, when we rightly divide these passages, this is nothing that's going to take place in the church age. Now, we see extreme weather. We see wild weather. We see wacky, crazy weather. But when Luke 21 talks about signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, these are tribulation passages. So, will some sort of event take place that will coincide with the total solar eclipse that's going to happen on April 8th of 2024? Well, before we answer that question, and we're going to come back to Luke 21 in just a minute, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Erie County, Buffalo, New York. Most eyes will be on the sky for a total solar eclipse, especially here in Western New York. The final planning for the eclipse is underway, and County Executive Mark Poglenkarts says businesses should close on April 8th to keep local traffic off the roads. He says this, planning for the worst and hoping for the best. I think we are doing really well. We have a lot of the puzzle pieces already in place. So in New York and in Pennsylvania and in other areas where this total solar eclipse is going to be taking place, it says that they are planning for the worst. Now, why would they be doing that? Well, this is going to be the first total solar eclipse that has been visible in the United States since August 21st of 2017. And it will be the only total solar eclipse in the 21st century where the totality, meaning complete darkness, will be visible in Mexico, the United States, and Canada. That is North and South America. It will also be the last total solar eclipse visible in the 48 United States until August 23rd of 2044. And we told you at the start of this podcast, I showed you the graphic that the one from 2017 went southwest to northwest to southeast, and the one next month is going to go southwest to northeast, and it is going to give you a X, a solid complete X. Now, back in 2017, on that path from the solar eclipse, it covered 7 United States locations that are called Salem. Salem, Oregon, Salem, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, Salem, Kentucky, and Salem, South Carolina. Now, what is important about Salem? You're probably thinking of, well, that's the place up in Massachusetts with the witches, but it's not. Turn to Genesis 14 and then give me Hebrews chapter 7. Give me Genesis 14 in one hand and Hebrews chapter 7 in the other hand. In your King James Bible, the word Salem appears 4 times. Genesis 14, 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Hebrews 7, 2 says, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Turn to Psalm 76. Psalm 76. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. And then you're going to know where Salem is. Psalm 76, verse 1. To the chief musician on Neginoth, a psalm or song of Asaph. In Judah is God known, his name is great, in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. Do you know where Salem is? If you had a guess, if somebody said, here's $1 million, can you tell me where Salem is in the Bible? Well, of course, it is Jerusalem, the house of David and the house of God. This is the city of peace. That's what Jerusalem means. It is the city of peace. There's no peace there right now, but there's going to be. Last night we did part 2. Of our look at the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, and what a blessing that was. And during that time period, you are going to have peace in Jerusalem. Let me just see. Ezra 7:17. That thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. How about that? Doesn't the Bible say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee? And so, in 2017, the total solar eclipse passed seven places in the United States that are named Salem. Now, that could just be an interesting coincidence or not. But now, this new eclipse, and in my mind, because I live in Florida, I want to call it a hurricane, because every time we get a storm, everybody thinks it's a hurricane. But this solar eclipse that's going to take place in April, it's going to cut through seven United States locations with the name of Nineveh. Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, Virginia, and Nineveh, New York. And just as a bonus, the eclipse will also cross over a location named Nineveh in the province of Nova Scotia. My older brother went to bagpipe camp up in Nova Scotia. The eclipse will also cross over a location named Nineveh in the province of Nova Scotia in Canada. So, as we begin to unpack what has already happened with the 2017 eclipse, what could possibly happen with the 2024 eclipse, and when we rightly divide what we're reading, we understand, and go back to Luke 21 for a minute, that none of these verses in Luke 21, 25 through 28, none of these verses apply to us right now. It is true that we are at the end of the church age. In my opinion, I believe that the falling away is about as accomplished as it's ever going to be. And I believe that we are waiting for the man of sin to be revealed. And where do I get that from? I get that from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. This is not a private interpretation. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of Christ, the rapture of the church, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And now, Jan Lacker is asking, what is the sign of Jonah? Well, let's take a look in our King James Bibles and let's see if we can see what that sign might be. Turn to Luke chapter 11. And let's look down verses 29 and 30. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Now, he is comparing, Jesus is comparing, the people that he's talking to in Israel, the Jewish people, and keep your finger in Luke chapter 11, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and let's look down at the bottom. Look at verse 26. John 6:26. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me. Not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They were looking for Jesus for miracles and food and for health and for people who were sick to get better. But that's all they wanted him for. They didn't want him because they wanted him. Now the Bible's, you know what? I think I want John chapter 8. I think I want John chapter 8. Yeah, John 8:44. John 8, but I'm glad I went to John 6. Thank you, Lord. Amen. John 8:44. Jesus says, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Now, go back to Luke chapter 11 and let's answer Jan's question. Luke 11, 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say to the Jewish people, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, but there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. And isn't it interesting that the Jewish people of Jesus' day are asking for a sign, and Jesus was the sign, right? In the book of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive. That's the sign. And here is this sign, Jesus Christ, talking with the Jewish people who say, give us a sign. And Jesus says, all right, evil generation, you don't want me? You reject me? I'm the sign. Well, you want something else? I'll give you something else. How about I give you the sign of the prophet Jonah? And there are many similarities between Jesus and Jonah. Now, the first thing that we need to know is that Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale. In the Old Testament, it's called a great fish, but in the New Testament, in Matthew 12:40, Jesus says he was swallowed by a whale. Now, Jonah is a prophetic sign of Jesus on the cross. Jonah, when in the whale, tells us that he died and cried out to the Lord from the pit of hell and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell I cried, and cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, Jonah literally experienced the horror of being swallowed by a whale, dying, living inside that whale for 3 days and three nights, and then he is resurrected by the Lord and spat out on the shore. David says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell and will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And of course, Jesus is comparing what he's about to do with his death, burial, and resurrection with what Jonah did in the whale. So when the Bible talks about the sign of Jonah, the sign of Jonah is pointing to Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And of course, if you go to 1 Corinthians 15 and you look at verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, and he cried out in by reason of his affliction, and God raised him from the dead out of the belly of that whale. And so what is the sign of Jonah? Jesus on the cross. And those two things are very intimately connected. Deborah Mack says, aren't the signs for the Jews? And the answer is yes. Absolutely yes. And the Bible verse that you need for that, let me see here. Well, Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then he left them and departed. But that's not what I want. I want the verse that says, there it is, 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And this is why Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, talking about the body of Christ, he says this, verse 26, Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So, when we look at this total solar eclipse, we can rule out right off the bat any verses from Luke 21 talking about the tribulation. We can rule out right off the bat anything that tries to put you into that time period that we who are saved in the church age are not going to be here for. So, as we get closer to April 8th, you're going to see a lot more videos. You're going to see a lot more social media posting about the total solar eclipse. You can discount anything that leads you to the tribulation. We will not be here for the tribulation. We will be removed in the rapture before that takes place. But the part that we will be focused on, you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And that is a true statement. We don't need signs, miracles, and wonders. We walk by faith and not by sight. Shar says, just coincidentally, 2017 and 2018, when you add them up, equals 18. That's 666. So the things that we are interested in, we're interested in anything about this solar eclipse that has to do with the letter X. That is very interesting to us. Anything about this solar eclipse that we can relate to the crazy time period that we're in right now. What is today? It is day 1,449 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And thank the Lord for the past 1,449 days, we have been on the front lines of the end times, wide awake and paying attention. We will continue to monitor as we get closer to this total solar eclipse. And it's an exciting thing. And if there is anything about this eclipse that we can relate to the Bible, for our dispensation, not for the time of Jacob's trouble, not for the great tribulation, but as we get closer, if there's anything that we find that we can relate to the church age connected to this eclipse, well, we will be very, very happy to bring that to you. So we constantly monitor the news 7 days per week, about 12 hours per day, and we will continue to keep you updated with what's going on. Now, I have an update from the Bibles Behind Bars program, and you're really going to like this. This is really going to put a smile on your face. If you remember last year, Chaplain Todd from the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center, he had reached out to us and asked if we could send him some Bibles. And we sent him a whole truckload of Bibles. And he wrote to me, well, today is March 4th. He wrote to me actually at 10:57 this morning. And this is what he said. We thank you for sending us Bibles in the past. Every Bible we get out is an opportunity to share the gospel. I want to let you know that we have had, and I wish I had a drum roll sound effect, we have had 172 inmates trust Christ as Savior since you handed us those Bibles. He says, we have seen God do great things in the lives of the inmates who receive Christ. He said, since you sent us those Bibles, and this is an exact quote, we have seen 172 inmates trust Christ as Savior in just the last couple of months. Some of these inmates are with us for a long time, and we can disciple them. Others go on to prison or finish their sentences and are released back into the general population. Inmates at our jail are getting saved every single week. And he says, when they get saved, we give them one of the Bibles that you gave us. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, if that doesn't make you jump up and shout amen, I don't know what will. 172 inmates have trusted Christ as Savior at the Sebastian County Adult Detention Center in Fort Smith, Arkansas, according to Chaplain Todd, who wrote to me at 10:57 a.m. this morning. If you think our Bibles Behind Bars program is worth supporting, I ask you to do two things. I ask you to continue to pray for the ministry of Now the End Begins and for the Bibles Behind Bars program in particular. Pray for the 172 souls that got saved in the Sebastian County Jail. And if God has prospered you, I want you right now to go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the link that says donate. When Chaplain Todd wrote, he wasn't just giving us an update. He's out of Bibles. And I would, look, he only asked for 100 Bibles, but there's 400 people in his detention center. It would cost about $5,000 to send, well, somewhere between $4,000 and $5,000 to send 400 or 500 Bibles. And I want to do that. I really, really want to do that. So if God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com, click on the link that says donate. Think about the 172 guys that just got saved. Think about our camp meeting, where our focus is going to be jail and prison ministry. Brother Roy Bell is going to preach. Chaplain Steve from the Ader County Jail, they have revival in their jail too. We need your help with the Bibles Behind Bars program. 172 souls saved, and the vast majority of those people received one of our Bibles. Let's keep doing that. Let's do more of that. Let's do a lot more of that. Go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation today. Thank you, as always, very, very much. All right. We gave you the update on the coming total solar eclipse of 04, 0804. Is it 040824? 18666. And now you are totally up to speed with that eclipse. But did you know that there are some people, and when I say some people, I'm talking about members of Hamas. Would you be shocked to learn that one of the reasons why Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th of 2023 had to do with the fact that red heifers are back in Israel? Well, take a listen to this. CBS News. Did Hamas attack Israel because of the red heifers? Take a listen.
The infamous October 7 massacre that sparked a war. But one confounding yet eye-opening motive has escaped the headlines. In a recent speech, a Hamas spokesman blamed the Jews for bringing red cows to the Holy Land. The cows he's talking about at a secure, undisclosed location are these. Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Caring for them on an Israeli settlement in the West Bank is Yitzhak Mamo.
So we have here, after a long research, we find in Texas.
In Texas?
Texas, United States of America.
Texas Red Angus, flying them 7,000 miles to Israel.
This is not a publicity stunt.
Well, what do you mean?
Meaning, this is something you take very seriously.
Harry Potter is a good story. The Bible is not story. The Bible is a way of God to lead us.
A massive altar already awaits where the heifers are to be burned.
According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
The Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque, among the holiest sites in Islam. Today, only Muslims are allowed inside, but that's not stopping Jewish activists outside.
Once you got, you started here.
6 days a week, Melissa Jane Kronfeld leads groups from around the world who defiantly pray, as close as armed guards permit.
It's not about the destruction of Islamic holy sites. It is about preserving this place and being guardians over the house of God for all people.
So you're happy with it where it is?
No, it's going to go 100%. But I believe
it's going to go.
It's 100%. Yeah, the whole thing is going to go. We have to build a temple.
When you say that Dome of the Rock has to go, MJ, it's hard for me to imagine something more incendiary.
Well, let me ask you something. The Middle East seems pretty destabilized right now. And the war, if I'm not mistaken, is already here.
To be clear, hers is a dream not shared by the Israeli government or by the vast majority of Israelis and Jews. But it's been enough to incite numerous Islamist groups. Hamas has dubbed its October 7 assault on Israel the Al-Aqsa Wave and has the Dome of the Rock on its emblem. But this is sacred ground to billions of Muslims globally, not just Hamas terrorists, stresses Imam Mustafa Abu Sway of Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Al-Aqsa Mosque belongs to all Muslims. So you'll find reaction from Indonesia to Toronto to New York. That's really given. Al-Aqsa Mosque belongs to all Muslims, and the Muslims today are 2 billion people. 2 billion people.
Simply by performing these acts, are these Jewish activists kicking a hornet's nest?
They are. They are.
A hornet's nest they're kicking all the way to Capitol Hill.
So good to see you here in the nation's capital.
Those sacred cows were showcased in Washington at a recent prayer gathering. Many evangelicals believe these red heifers will usher Christ's second coming.
And we need the Messiah to come, right? So for me, the red heifer, it's red for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Back in the West Bank, Mamo says the ceremony could take place any day.
But can you understand why Hamas could be outraged by something like this?
I cannot understand that even if they are right, why they have to slaughter and rape people to win their war.
Terrorists have been attacking us before we ever dreamed of these cows, he reflects. They don't need them as an excuse to kill. For CBS Saturday Morning, Chris Livesay, Jerusalem.
So there you have a take on the red heifers and the coming rebuilt temple. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24, and I want to show you who this temple is going to be used by. Will there be a temple in Israel, in Jerusalem, during the time of Jacob's trouble? Absolutely. No question about it. Get Matthew 24 in one hand and get me Revelation 11 in the other hand. Revelation 11 and Matthew 24. Let's start in Revelation 11, verses 1 through 3, talking about the rebuilt temple. Revelation 11, 1 says, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses," excuse me, "and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." Now turn to Matthew chapter 24. And I'll show you who's going to use this temple. And it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:15. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." Matthew 24:15 is day one of the great tribulation that takes place 3.5 years into the time of Jacob's trouble. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." That's what Matthew 24:15 is pointing to, is telling you. And this temple, we can call it the third temple, but this temple is going to be a temple that is going to be built for who they think is the Messiah, but it is actually going to be the temple of Antichrist. And then in Matthew 24:15, when he sits down, he goes into that Holy of Holies. They know that he's not the right guy. And then everybody who has not taken the mark of the beast is now going to flee to the red rock city of Selah Petra. And so Matthew 24:15 shows you the rebuilt temple. It shows you the Antichrist taking control of that temple. And it shows you the start of the Great Tribulation. So I said all that to say this. As far as Christians are concerned, living in the church age, a rebuilt temple doesn't impact us in any way, shape, or form. Red heifers coming to Israel do not impact us in any way, shape, or form. Sacrifices restarting in Jerusalem do not impact us in any way, shape, or form. We are waiting for Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, and we are looking to go up in that day and in that time. And all these things that people are talking about, the red heifers and the rebuilt temple and all these different things, that's exactly what you should expect to be seeing as the dispensation that is coming in on top of our dispensation. That's exactly what you should be expect to be seeing, but it's not for us. Christians have nothing to do with red heifers, rebuilt temples. We have nothing to do with daily sacrifices being reinstituted in Jerusalem and the Al-Aqsa Mosque and any of that stuff. Don't get me wrong. We love the Jewish people. We pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. But doctrinally and biblically, those things have nothing to do with us. We are saved by the blood of the crucified one, and we are looking for Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, and up we are going to go. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. We said last night that the Wednesday night Bible study has been moved to Tuesday night. If you go all the way back 12 years ago, that we had a Tuesday night Bible study. And we are bringing back the Tuesday night Bible study. And if you were listening yesterday, the reason why we are doing that is I have been asked to preach on an ongoing basis at Bethany Baptist Church in St. Augustine. Not as the pastor. They have not asked me to do that. They have simply asked me to supply the pulpit. They don't have a permanent preacher, and they asked me to preach Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. And we, Lori and I, prayed about that, and I've been actually preaching there for the last month, and we absolutely believe that God has opened this door for whatever work that he wants us to help with over there. And maybe we're just there for a short period of time until they can find their permanent pastor. But in the meantime, on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we're going to be preaching. I'm going to be preaching over at Bethany Baptist, and we are very excited about that. And in about a week, maybe 2 weeks, we are going to have it set up where we are going to broadcast live. We're going to live stream the Sunday morning service, and I'll let you know as we get closer to that. But thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. I hope you enjoyed this program today, and NTEB, we are reader and listener supported. Your donations and your prayers make this entire ministry possible. 172 people getting saved at the Sebastian County Jail and then given the Bibles that we sent them. Help us to send more Bibles to the Sebastian County Jail. We want to send them 400 Bibles. We need your help to do it. Please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and make a donation. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for another NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Enjoy your Monday, everybody.